ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 33 चैप्टर एंटाइटल बिहेवियर ऑफ अ परफेक्ट पर्सन। राजतः राजतश्च व्रत शत्रु स्वजनात् पशुपक्षितः अर्थेभ्य कालत स्वस्मा नित्यं प्राणार्थवत् भयम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट वाइज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। दोज हु आर कंसिडर्ड मटीरियली पावरफुल एंड रिच are always full of anxieties because of government laws, thieves and rogues, enemies, family members, animals, birds, persons seeking charity, the inevitable time factor, and even their own selves. Thus, they are invariably afraid. Purport. The word swasmat means from one's self. Because of attachment for money, the richest person is even afraid of himself. He fears that he may have locked his money in an unsafe manner or might have committed some mistake. Aside from the government and its income tax, and aside from thieves, even a rich man's own relatives are always thinking of how to take advantage of him and take away his money. Sometimes, these relatives are described as Swajanaka Dasyu, which means rogues and thieves in the guise of relatives. Therefore, there is no need to accumulate wealth or unnecessarily endeavor for money, for more and more money. The real business of life is to ask, who am I? And to understand one's self. One should understand the position of the living entity in this material world and understand how to return home back to Godhead. Taking text number 34 also. Shoka moha bhaya krodha raga klaibhya shramashdayah yanmula syur ninam jayat spriham pranartayor buddha. Translation. Those in human society who are intelligent should give up the original cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, attachment, poverty, and unnecessary labor. The original cause of all of this is the desire for unnecessary prestige and money. Purport. Here is the difference between the Vedic civilization and the modern demoniac civilization. Vedic civilization concerned itself with how to achieve self-realization, and for this purpose, one was recommended to have a small income to maintain body and soul together. The society was divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And the members of the society would limit their endeavors to meeting their minimum demands. The Brahmanas in particular would have no material desires. Because the Kshatriyas had to rule the people, it was necessary for them to have money and prestige. But the Vaishyas were satisfied with agricultural produce and milk from the cow, and if by chance there was excess, trade was allowed. The Shudras were also happy, for they would get food and shelter from the three higher classes. In the demoniac civilization present day, however, there is no question of Brahmanas or Kshatriyas. There are only so-called workers and a flourishing mercantile class who have no goal in life. According to Vedic civilization, the ultimate perfection of life is to take sannyas. But at the present moment, people do not know why sannyas is accepted. Because of misunderstanding, they think that one accepts sannyas to escape social responsibilities. but one does not accept sannyas to escape from responsibility to society. Generally, one accepts sannyas at the fourth stage of spiritual life. One begins as a brahmachari, then becomes a grahastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi to take advantage of the duration of one's life by engaging oneself fully in self-realization. Sannyas does not mean begging from door to door to accumulate money for sense gratification. However, because in Kali Yuga, people are more or less prone to sense gratification, immature sannyas is not recommended. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara prayaschascha prajalpa niyamagraha janasangascha laulamcha shadbir bhakti vinashyati. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes so entangled in the following six activities. Number one, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. Two, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. Three, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Four, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures or working independently or whimsically. Five, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And six, being greedy for mundane achievements. A sannyasi should have an institution meant to preach Krishna consciousness. He need not accumulate money for himself. We recommend that as soon as money accumulates in our Krishna consciousness movement, 50% of it should be invested in printing books and 50% for expenditures, especially in establishing centers all over the world. The managers of the Krishna consciousness movement should be extremely cautious in regard to this point. Otherwise, money will be the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, material attachments, material poverty, and unnecessary hard work. When I was alone in Vrindavan, I never attempted to construct mathas or temples. Rather, I was fully satisfied with the small amount of money I could gather by selling back to Godhead, and thus I would provide for myself and also print the literature. When I went to foreign countries, I lived according to the same principle. But when the European and Americans began to give money profusely, I started temples and deity worship. The same principle should still be followed. Whatever money is collected should be spent for Krishna and not a farthing for sense gratification. This is the Bhagavat principle. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of Bhrigupati Prabhu, very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada and Chandavali Mataji, and all other colleagues of mine. In fact, as I was reading this purport, I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada is speaking to me, especially householders, because there is always a tendency to accumulate more and more and more. When I first started my practice, my friend asked me, he said, how much do you think you should earn to become happy? This was almost 20 years back. So I said, maybe over a period of time, if I earn, say, maybe 5,000 rupees in a month, I'll be very happy. So he said, really? And he was a millionaire. His father was a dentist, so he didn't have to strive for anything. But he was asking me, he said, if you start a practice, how much you think you'll be happy with? I said, 5,000 rupees is enough. And that time the earning was only 1,000 or 2,000 in the practice. I'm talking about 85, 87. So he said, really? I said, yeah, that's enough. But now when I look back at it, I feel that 5,000 is nothing. You can't do anything with that amount. And you feel that you need to earn more and more and more to run your family, to maintain your family. And that's what this material world makes us feel, that to somehow or the other maintain the family, you need to earn a lot. You need to have a nice car, you need to have a nice house, you need to have a nice place, environment, wear a nice dress and there's no end to it. You need to have a good mobile. That mobile should not be ordinary, it should be iPhone. So you can take videos also. So there's no end to it. And Srila Prabhupada here, in the first instance, he mentions here simple living, high thing. There's no need to accumulate wealth or unnecessary endeavor for more and more money. The real business of life is to ask, who am I? And to understand oneself. So we see that in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is regularly telling us how that greed for prestige or greed for money can ruin our spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his discussions, he mentions that money is so dear to one person that somebody is ready to give up his life also for money. Ready to give up his life. We saw this terror attack. And when he was questioned why, he said he was ready to do this job because the people told them that they will maintain his parents. So he did not mind doing this horrible act. People are ready to do anything, maybe risk their lives just so that they can get money. And that's how it's so dear to one's own life. And Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how excessive greed for accumulating money can ruin one's spiritual life altogether. A very true example, the place where I stay, there was one person who was living. 25 years back, he was the richest person in that area because he had about 7-8 houses and some 3-4 shops. But it so happened that he got involved into gambling, especially betting on horses. I know all this is because he was coming as a patient and just casually I was asking him, and then he said, "Doctor, do you see all these houses, all these shops and all the houses?" He said, "They are all mine." He said, "But every time he would bet on something, he would lose money, and he would lose in a very, very great manner. And slowly he had to sell off one, sell off the second one, third one, fourth one. And ultimately he was left with only his house and practically no income at all. And still now his wife is running a boutique within the house itself. And he's left his body. He's no more now. He's died almost about 7-8 years because he started drinking just to forget about his past. So, you know, that greed to earn more within a short time by betting on horses or maybe betting on anything just spoiled his life completely. Started drinking and some other he could not sustain, and then he had a heart attack and he left his body. So this is a real fact of life. And every time I go by the place, or whenever the family comes to me as a patient, I remember this instance. I said how greed can spoil someone's life and put the family also at stake. And I had one professor in the dental college. He was a very nice professor. This is a Nair Dental Hospital. And he was my examiner also. Very wonderful person. But he had one problem, that he wanted to somehow or other achieve the post of the dean. He wanted to become the dean himself. That's the principal of the institution. And somehow or other politically he just tried to get it. And after say maybe a few years, this was I think in 1990, he ultimately became a dean. But as Prabhupada mentions that whenever you have that prestige or wealth, it bewilders your intelligence completely. You become intoxicated because of prestige and and this person, when he achieved that post of the dean, he started using that post for illegal purposes, in the sense, you know, bribes, and maybe for passing some student just get some money, and for some, you know, you need to indent many things in the hospital, the chairs and other things, then you get some commission out of it. And it went to so much of extent that he started, you know, accusing the very, very sincere practitioners of the dental profession. And so much so that a stage came just that about 3 to 4 years back, he was unceremoniously kicked out of the hospital. And there are about 7 to 8 court cases against him. And probably if he loses those court cases, probably he'll become a bankrupt. So he has left this city of Bombay and now he's somewhere in the north, just, you know, doing some small business. And this is what has happened to him. So these are the real facts of life. There's another person about 10 years back. He was, you can say, a millionaire. And right now, he's just moving around in the locality where I'm staying. And he doesn't have money to even maintain himself. He's a bachelor. He's not married. I remember when I was just got married, he said, "Doctor, whatever is a charge, just take it. You know, I don't mind. Money is not a problem." And he was that way very nice. He said, "Just..." But now he doesn't have even money to pay for a simple thing. So now he comes to get the treatment done free for. I said, "You had paid me earlier, now you do it free." I cannot do anything because he doesn't have money for anything. So this is the situation actually. The greed for making quick money causes so much of anxiety. Prabhupada mentions here that someone who is materially powerful and rich, they are full of anxieties because there is always a fear that you may lose. Everyone takes sleeping pills nowadays. You can't sleep without the sleeping pill. The beggar on the street is much more better off because at least he has one sleepless night for 4 hours, 5 hours or 6 hours continuously. But somebody who has all the money would trade for anything to get a nice sleepless, peaceful sleep. So Srila Prabhupada is very well speaking about how what happens with the anxiety. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also we see that greed for acquiring wealth, how it ruins a life. Kamsa, he wanted to acquire the kingdom and he went against his own father, put him into prison and got this kingdom. He was ready to kill his own sister because the Akashvani was that he would be killed by the 8th child of his sister. But ultimately, he was killed by the Lord. Finished. Ravana, he was so greedy. He wanted to enjoy Sita. He had everything. What he did not have? He had everything in his life. He could have just be completely satisfied with that. But no, he wanted something. He wanted to enjoy. And ultimately, he met death at hands of Ram. Hiranyakashipu. He wanted to become the master of the universe. And he wanted to be immortal. And what tapasya he did. No one would be able to do so much of tapasya as Hiranyakashipu would do. And ultimately, he got what he wanted. And but then, later on, he was completely killed, destroyed by Lord Narasingadev. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that how when somebody wants to, are eager to accumulate more and more, maybe prestige or maybe wealth, by the influence of time factor, everyone is destroyed. Srila Prabhupada, many of the places during his discussion, he means that, you know, every devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement should earn money by honest means. If he earns money by illegal means, then he'll be ruined. He says every devotee should earn I'll just read out what he says. One should earn his livelihood easily and honestly, for it's better to become a coolie for an honest livelihood than to become a great man in society by hook or crook. There's no harm if one becomes the richest man in the world by honest dealings. But one should not sacrifice the honest means of livelihood simply to accumulate wealth. Such an endeavor is harmful to devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is very clear about how a householder should lead his life. That even though one may become a coolie by honest means, that's enough, that's okay. But by dishonest means, become a millionaire, that's not accepted and it's harmful for devotional service. When you're talking about greed, we find that, this greed is there in Krishna also. There's a nice lecture by His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami. So Gaur Govind Maharaj was mentioning that Krishna has these six opulences. He has strength, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, wealth, fame. He says, Krishna is also greedy. So Krishna has this strength, so he wants to exhibit his strength. He wants greedy to exhibit his strength. So then what he does? He just some other makes arrangement to see that Jai Vijay goes down and then he comes down and then fights. He fights with his devotees. So he's greedy for that. And he says that how Krishna wants to exhibit his anger. He's greedy for that. So then he exhibits the role of Lord Narasingdev and exhibits that anger. He's greedy for that. And says Krishna is also greedy to know the love of Srimati Radharani. And that's the reason he says he transforms from Nanda Nandan to Sachi Nandan. Because he wants to know what is in me that Srimati Radharani is attracted to. So that greed is there in the Lord, and that's the reason we have that exhibition. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that what should one be greedy for? That one should be greedy for hearing, chanting and serving. And we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rupa Goswami mentions a very nice shloka. All of you are aware of this shloka. This is from Padyavali. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi na labhyate. Tatra maulyam, Tatra laulyam, ekalam, ekalam maulyam, janma koti sukriti na labhyate. And the translation goes like this, that pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be obtained by thousands, hundreds and thousands of lives. Pious activities in hundreds and thousands of lives. By performing pious activities, you will not get that pure devotional service. But it can be obtained by one thing, by paying one price. What is that? Intense greed to obtain it. And he says, if it is available anywhere, just purchase it without delay. So that intense greed for hearing, for chanting, and to serve the Lord is the price that one has to pay for that mulya, that price has to pay. So we find that how Parikshit Maharaj was very eager to hear. He was so eager, intense. He was eager to hear from Shukdev Goswami. So much so that for the 7 days and seven nights, he did not even think of eating, drinking, or even sleeping also. He did not look at a watch. Or maybe, now let's have some relaxation. Let me just relax my legs. Let me just get up and do some. He never had even that thought coming across his mind when he was hearing. We find how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was hearing from Gadadhar Pandit in Jagannath Puri, he was so eager to hear. He would hear the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. And when he would hear, he said, please, please tell again, please, We find how Srila Prabhupada was very eager. He was so eager to hear from his spiritual master that his spiritual master noticed and he told his other disciples that this person, because he hears nicely, one day he will do something good. So that intense desire to hear or intense greed to hear, that's one of the ornaments of a devotee. And the greed to chant, Narad Muni, he is eager to preach the glories of the Lord. He is never tires himself of preaching. Always on the verge, just in eager to see whoever is a candidate for a preaching. Srila Prabhupada had that same intensity to preach the message of Lord Krishna to all. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam how Vidur, after he traveled to all the places, he had that desire to preach to his brother Dhritarashtra, come back and preach. Then intense greed to serve. We see how Krishna himself at a Rajasuya sacrifice was so eager to serve all the guests who had come for the sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuya sacrifice, that he was ready to do even the menial service. He was regularly doing that service. You would see that how Maharaj Prataprudra was so eager to serve all the Vaishnavas. He was ready to do anything for serving the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we find how Jayanand Prabhu, who is Srila Prabhupada's very, very dear disciple, how Jayanand Prabhu was so completely absorbed in serving. Any new devotee would come inside the temple, he would just, some other cultivate him. The devotee would just take up responsible positions, he would become ultimately at president of the temple and he would serve him also. He was so busy serving. And when somebody asked him, he said, you know, how much progress that you have made in the spiritual life? He said, I'm sorry, I'm so busy serving Srila Prabhupada that I do not know. I never thought about it. That means that thing never occurred in his mind that he is so eager to serve. Find in the place of Chaitanya Charitamrita where Kalidas, you know, he was so greedy actually to take the remnants of the Lord's devotees, the remnants. He would find different ways and means to somehow or the other get those remnants from the law, from the Lord's devotees. And ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gave him his own remnants. He got all the three. He got a dust, he got a water that washed the feet of the Lord, and he also got his remnants. Find how in Jagannath Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he entered the Jagannath temple, when he was washing, and nobody would dare to even go near him and collect the water which has washed his feet. But Kalidas did it once. He did it twice and thrice. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And then ultimately when he was honoring Prasad, Kalidas would see from his window. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he just gave the whole plate to Govinda. He said, just give it to him. And he got it. So that was Kalidas' intense greed, you know, basically to accept the remnants of the Lord. We also find that how that greed, even though it is there, but somehow or the other, if one is connected to the Lord's devotees, by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of the Lord devotees, somehow or the other, that greed is taken care of. In the sense, you are purified from that desire to accumulate unnecessary things of this material world. The glaring example is from the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's a story of Gopinath Patanaika. Like Gopinath Patanaika was working for Maharaj Prataprudra, and Gopinath Patanaika, because he was a treasurer, and he misappropriated the funds of the treasury. And when this came to the notice of his son, of Prataprudra's son, he came and approached him and he said, you have to pay for it. You have to give back the money. But since he had already used it, because, you know, he just accumulated money. And there's a natural tendency when you know that you have that access to accumulate, then the, you know, sometimes you lose your intelligence, you become bewildered, and then you try to some other pocket out, you know. This happens many times, like many people work in the offices and they get what is called as dearness allowance. You travel and then you get some money for traveling. So you get a money for traveling by a two-tire AC, but then you travel by a ordinary sleeper and then pocket a rest, you know. The tendency is there. Even if it's maybe, you know, like if it is 100 rupees and 195 rupees and somebody is giving you 200 rupees, there's a tendency to just put it in pocket, the 5 rupees. So this tendency is there. The greed is there. What to speak of if you have access to that treasury and where there's no one else to take or to keep the eye on you as to what you're doing. So Gopinath Patnaik was in that position and he just misappropriated funds. But ultimately it came to the notice of the king. And the king told his son that do whatever is needful. So the son went to Gopinath Patnaik and said, you have to pay for all these things. He said, I don't have money now. He said, I can give my horses to you. I have nice, beautiful horses. So maybe you give me a price for this horse and rest of it I'll just pay. So some or the other, this prince, he just quoted a very low price for the horses. So this irritated Gopinath Patnaik. And because this prince had a particular, you know, habit of like, you know, bending his legs, head. So he became so irritated, he just casually made a statement. He said, my horses need, you know, they are much more valuable than what you are quoting. At least my horses don't do like this as you are doing. So this irritated the prince so much that the prince decided that he should be put on a changa and he should be hanged to death. But that was a punishment which he was supposed to get for the crime that he had done. But this was not known to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Maharaj Pratap Rudra was not aware of this at all. And the devotees started petitioning to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that your dear devotee, Gopinath Patnaik, one of the 5 sons of Bhavanand Rai, he is to be put on changa. Please do something for it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very irritated because he said, I am a sannyasi. Do you expect me to just beg in front of Maharaj Pratap Rudra for all these small things? And he said, if you again approach me, I'll just leave this place and go away. So the devotees did not again want to approach. But somehow the other, you know, like there was always a fear. And in the meanwhile, the news reached Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Maharaj Pratap, when he came to know that he's been put on changa, he said, I never ordered him to be put on changa. But I said, whatever is needed, needful, you just do it and get the money out from him. And at last moment, he just got him out of changa. Because why? Maharaj Pratap Rudra, when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to leave this place and go away if he's bothered again, and just because of me, he was thinking about himself, just because of me, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is leaving this place, I don't want him to do that. So he just got him out of the changa. And of course, in the meanwhile, his brother Vaninath Rai was also put into prison. And he was all the time chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, was asking the devotees. He said, what was Vaninath doing? Vaninath was chanting the holy names. He didn't know beats, but he was chanting on his fingers. And ultimately, when he was released, Gopinath Patnaik, he came back. And in front of Gopinath Patnaik, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, in order to gain favor from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to leave. So he just took him out of the changa. He gave him, he doubled his salary, Gopinath Patnaik is. He just honored him with a silken cloth and then he sent him away and said, please don't do this again. And I just, some other, you know, absolve you from all the debts that you have. So when he went back to Lord Chaitanya, in fact, Gopinath Patnaik was so embarrassed, humiliated, and he was praying at the Lord Chaitanya that actually, this is not your mercy. this is not your mercy that I have been, you know, released from this changa and I have been given this, my salary is doubled and I have been honored. He says, this is not your mercy. Your real mercy is what my brother has got. That intense shelter at the lotus feet and taking shelter of the holy names. He says, please give me that mercy. Please give me that. So he was praying, Vaninath. But here you find that the person who was greedy at one time, but because of his instance, then ultimately he got purified of that desire and he was only wanting that one desire he had. I just want to somehow or the other take shelter of the holy name. In Srimad Bhagavatam also we know all Dhruva Maharaj's story, how Dhruva Maharaj was had that greed or a desire to have a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. But ultimately when he had darshan of the Lord, he did not want it. That desire was purified completely. But still the Lord told him that because you had this, you know, you will rule the kingdom for the next 36,000 years and then afterwards you will come back to my abode. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that this intense greed or eagerness is that virtue which a devotee should always have. And he said, Krishna consciousness is available easily. And he was telling that you can purchase it from the Krishna consciousness moment at the price of one's eagerness. These are Srila Prabhupada's words. He says, Krishna consciousness is easily available. He says, but you can purchase it from the moment. He says, you can purchase this from our moment at the price of one's eagerness. And he says that materialistic people become very greedy for material possessions and they suffer. He says, why you want to do that? He says, you devotees should become greedy for Krishna and you should enjoy. And he said, this is possible only when you are in the association of devotees. He says, that is the reason why we have established temples, because we are giving an opportunity for devotees to come together, people to come and associate with the devotees. And by associating with devotees and by hearing and chanting and serving in the association of devotees, once anartha is purified, you get result of all the anarthas in your heart. Ultimately, that fever of material acquisition, they go down and down and down and down and down. You know, that's the reason why it's very important for us, especially I'm talking about myself as a householder, it's very important for us that we need to somehow or other associate someone who is in the renounce order. So I always pray, you know, like I always tell that let a brahmacharis remain very simple. Because when you see them, then you realize that, oh, I should also remain. My fever goes down. Because when you associate with them, then you feel that, oh, you know, there's no need to do this much. There's no need to do that. So that's one of the responsibilities of the brahmachari ashram for us. So when we become greedy to accumulate more and more, and when you see the simplicity, the simple lifestyle of our fellow God brothers who are in the brahmachari ashram, then our fever, material fever goes down. And then we realize, oh, this is not the goal of life. The goal of life is to just take shelter and finish your business and go back. So Srila Prabhupada is very strong on this particular point. And very, very wonderfully, he just guides us how to really lead our life in a way that we don't become completely overpowered by desire to acquire more and more. As Srila Prabhupada mentions here, atyahara prayaschascha, you know. And that's the first two things, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here at one place. He says, if you use this money for... I'll just read this. He says, if you have money, he says, as long as it is within your possession, try to spend it to acquire Krishna consciousness. So if for some reason a person has money, then use it for acquiring Krishna consciousness. Then that's how your desire will be purified. and you'll not be implicated by the ill effects of accumulating more and more. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was approached by Kali, he said, "You have to give me shelter because I am also a praja." So Parikshit Maharaj said, "Okay," he said, "wherever there are four sinful activities, you can do, you can go and stay there. Where there is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meeting, you can decide." He said, "But there's no one. There's no activity happening here." He said, "Okay, whereas there is excessive hoarding of wealth, you can decide there." And that's where Kali started residing. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that whenever there is excessive hoarding of wealth, then all these things are automatically going to take place. Because when you have excess wealth, then what happens? You feel that you have power to control, and you feel that you can do anything at any time. And because you have wealth at your disposal, then you start doing all the illegal things. Then you start, you know, engaging in all the sinful activities because you don't know what to do with the wealth. You don't know what to do with the wealth. You have wealth, but you don't know what to do. It's like that. So that's what happens. And you have to just, you know, go on spending it, spending and spending and spending and spending, and like that. When, I don't know, there was a Marathi movie which I had seen almost 25 years back. In that movie, this boy is in love with this girl, and this girl is a rich person's daughter. So because the person did not want, the father did not want him to just get married because of his wealth, he said he gave this some, you know, big, what is a bag of currencies to the boy. He said, "Try to spend everything in the next 1 week. You know, finish it off in the next 1 week. I want to see that you finish off everything in 1 week's time. So, and once you finish off, and if you finish, then you can get married to my daughter." So he tries to gamble, he tries to, you know, some other, he purposely gambles, and he purposely tries to lose, you know. But some other, it so happens that, you know, he gets more and more and more, he gets more and more. Ultimately, after 1 week, he gets a big, sack of the currency back to his father-in-law. And he says, "I am so frustrated, I don't want wealth." You know, and then the father is very happy and says, "Okay, now I give my daughter to you." But this doesn't happen in real life, you know. Doesn't happen in real life. Because ultimately, you know, you have this, you ruin your life. Unless until it is used properly in Krishna's service. It never happens. That's just a phantasmagoria. You cannot just expect like that, you know. This person is frustrated. He says, "Come, I finish, he is so fed up of earning because he wanted to spend, but he gets about 10 times more than what he had was spending. But in real life, it doesn't happen. If you have money, then you have to use this somewhere in illegal manner. It has to go. Money doesn't stay at one place. Like Prabhupada mentions, either you are separated from money or money is separated from you at one point of time. It will never remain with you at all. Somebody will be there who will be there to squander. Like here Prabhupada is mentioning that, you know, some thieves, rogues, you know, he is using very strong words here. Swajanaka dasyu. Rogues and thieves in the guise of relatives. You know, somebody is dying on the deathbed, and people are thinking, when is he going to die? Because he has so much of wealth, so that they can acquire that wealth and distribute amongst themselves. They're ready to kill each other also for wealth. So many things happen. So ultimately, you know, a person can be happy only when he uses that particular wealth in Krishna's service and goes on with his business of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhrigupati Prabhu has a comment. I don't know whether I'll be fit enough to answer your question, Prabhuji.
Is it on? Thank you for a nice class. And you very nicely explained how greed is a destructive force and how it can be transformed into a spiritual asset by being greedy to make advancement in spiritual life. But what about those of us who are like in the middle ground, you know, who've understood that greed is a destructive force and have ceased or desisted from trying to accumulate wealth unnecessarily, but who haven't yet developed that spiritual greed, or at least, you know, we're cultivating it, but it hasn't become like a really dynamic force in our life yet. We're just kind of plodding along in the Grihastha ashram and earning. Is there a practical guideline that we can use? Like, in other words, Prabhupada gave the example of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami as the, they were the examples of the ideal managers. You know, they both were ministers for, I think it was Nawab Hussein Shah, and they, but before they retired to try to, you know, take part in the service of Lord Chaitanya, they were fabulously wealthy. And if I'm remembering correctly, they distributed their wealth. They gave 50% to the Brahmins, 50% to the family members. Sorry, no, 50% to the Brahmins, 25% to the family members, and they kept 25% for personal emergency. And Prabhupada said, this is like ideal. It's the maximum display of mercy or something. It's something very good to say. So are we supposed to be doing that? Is that the guideline? If not, what is? What is, practically speaking, what is a Grihastha supposed to do? Is it just supposed to be just as you feel? Or, you know, like I know in some other religions, like in America, they have the Mormon religion. And when somebody becomes a member of that church, they actually sign a contract that they're going to give 10% of their income, you know, towards, it's called tithing. And they have to do that. Otherwise, they kind of get, you know, excommunicated from that, you know, from being, well, they're no longer members in good standing. So are we expect, what's the guideline? What are we actually, practically speaking, expected to do? I mean, Prabhupada, like even with chanting, Prabhupada, you know, there's always some guideline. Prabhupada didn't just say, well, chant a lot or chant as you feel like it. No, he gave us 16 rounds, you know, so there's a practical guideline there. What is the practical guideline? Or is there one?
Praji, you can only answer this. You can answer for us.
It's a legitimate question. I'd have to think of it for the answer. I was thinking you were going to answer it, but well, I don't think Prabhupada did legislate any, you know, strict thing. He gave the basic principles, and I think it's up to everybody to use their intelligence. I mean, Prabhupada defines in the nectar, you kind of caught me off guard here. I wasn't expecting to have to answer this question, but in the nectar devotion, Prabhupada explains that intelligence is just being able to discriminate and good memory. So I guess that's the way devotees have to do it. They have to use their God-given intelligence. If somebody's sincere, then dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. Krishna gives them the intelligence by which they can come to him. And it's by, which is another way of saying Krishna gives them the intelligence by which they can understand how to be favorably engaged in devotional service. So I guess because everybody's situation is a little bit different, there's no stereotype thing. You can't legislate right across the board that somebody should give this much or that much or that much. Devotees have to just, if they're sincere, Krishna will give them the intelligence how they can simultaneously, you know, keep what they need to maintain their family, and because you do need a certain amount, and at the same time, how they can support the Krishna consciousness movement in different ways, in a way that's acceptable. Krishna will give them the intelligence how they can do that. That's the best answer I can come up with. Anyway,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Muralidhar Prabhu. Just a question that comes to my mind, and my opinion, you're the right person to answer this. You know, a lot of times we see that devotees, you know, they use whatever they have in Krishna's service. And we can see that definitely they are using everything in Krishna's service. But then over a period of time, somehow, whatever they have or whatever they are using in Krishna's service gets depleted. So at that point, it gets depleted. They have X amount of money or resources, and then over a period of time we find that actually that resources is getting depleted, and then we understand that we have to endeavor in order to, you know, use everything in Krishna's service. We have to really work hard. So at that point of time, do we really endeavor in order to, you know, make more money so that I can use it in Krishna's service? Or we accept that this is actually Krishna's arrangement. Krishna doesn't want me to have so much of resources. Because if I had those resources, maybe then I would be actually using it for my sense gratification and not in Krishna's service. Because always it's a very subtle thing. Am I using it really in Krishna's service or am I using it for my own sense gratification? It's very difficult to, you know, really make a clear-cut demarcation. Because sometimes you have money, you apparently are using it in Krishna's service, but you could also be pampering your false ego in the sense that, you know, it gives you prestige, it gives you position, status, and so many things. So there's a subtle element attached to having money also, right, which may not be externally pursued by the others. So what should one understand then? That it's okay, it's really Krishna's arrangement that I should not be having this much money with me. You know, so it's good for my Krishna consciousness. Or I should say, no, this is actually Krishna is putting me into a situation where I should endeavor more so that I can actually generate more money so that I can use it more in Krishna's service.
Maybe if I was in that situation where I know that I am using the money and then ultimately it's going to be depleted, and then what to do? I would definitely take advice from the authorities. In fact, for us, we always need someone to guide us as to what one should do. On our own, probably we would not be able to take a decision. Of course, we can, because with our own responsibilities and others, we know what we are supposed to do. But at least we can take the guidance from the authorities and find out as to what I should be doing at this time. Should I go all out and try to earn at the expense of my sadhana and other XYZ preaching activities or whatever it may be? Or should I just simplify my lifestyle and then maybe have less expenses and understand this Krishna's arrangement? So ultimately, a householder has to be independent. He's not supposed to be begging from anyone for his own livelihood. So that much intelligence one has to take. One cannot borrow from anyone. That's one principle that one has to understand. That is for sure. So we have to make provisions for that, no doubt. And as far as whether I should over-endeavor for more, I would definitely take advice from the authorities and find out whether I should over-endeavor or not. At the same time, I don't want myself to be put in that situation where I have to, you know, beg from someone. But over-enduring means it's so many things can happen over there. When you are talking about over-enduring, that means it's actually at the expense of your spiritual sadhana. And like, you know, so many activities you may have to curtail down if you have to do that. But then if it is under the instruction of authorities, then probably yes, then we can do it. Then you're protected. But if you do on your own, probably you may land up in a trouble. This is what I perceive. It's all I perceive. I don't know.
Just to give you a practical example, I mean, a real life situation where, let's say, you have a certain amount of money, right? And then, as you said, that we should simplify our life. If that resource of the money is depleted, then we have to simplify our life. Yeah, that particular point is appreciated. But then, I am using it in Krishna conscious activities, and that money which I'm using in Krishna conscious activity is now depleted. So from that point of view, I'm asking whether we should then, in order so that whatever we are going to use in Krishna conscious activity should not remain depleted. Yeah, I'm maintaining a simple life, so I cut down on my standard of living.
You can take advice from the authority and say that this is what has happened now, what I should do. I'm not able to do this particular service now. Should I endeavor for supporting this service or no? And if they say you just go on with it, fine, then you go ahead. Then in that case, you are totally protected if you are doing another instruction of an authority. But I think if you are doing on your own, then probably you may be in some danger. Danger in the sense, spiritually in a danger. This is what I perceive. I think, I do not know, I may be wrong. Radha Gopina Prabhu, is there anything that you want to add? Anand Vandan Prabhu asked one question to Burijan Prabhu that time. You remember? You said at the age of 50 or 60, we know that ki at the age of 50 I want to retire. And by that time I know that ki that money is not enough which I thought I would have. I would be able to survive. Then what I should do? So I think Burijan Prabhu said that at that time, he says, whatever you have at that time, if you decide to retire at the age of maybe 55 or 60 or whatever, if you decided, then you retire at that time, and whatever money you have with that, you just leave. He says, ultimately at the time of death, we have to depend on Krishna. He says, if you are depending on the money, then where is the question of depending on Krishna? So ultimately, we may have our own bank balance and we may have everything. From our side, we may make all the arrangements, but Krishna may be having different plans. So then, you are saying that, when will you develop that habit of depending on Krishna then? One has to ultimately depend on Krishna at a time when you leave the body. Isn't it, Anandan Prabhu? So I think we can take up that as a indication. If at all, if something like this is happening, I'm just saying. So one has to. Prabhuji, you are doing all these things. So I don't need to do it. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.